Thank you, Lord. Would you please stand with me? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time, and I'd like to turn your attention to Mark, the 7th chapter, starting at verse number 31. Mark 7 and 31, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were unstopped, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. You know, when something great happens to you folks, no, I gotta tell somebody about what happened to me. It's a miracle. And we're beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word. God, that it would affect every one of us. Cause us, God, to draw closer to you and have a better understanding of how great you are. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have used this illustration on a number of occasions over the years, but in 1987, one of my businesses was being sued, and I was faced with the possibility of losing everything that I had worked for up until this time. The lawsuit had nothing to do with any wrongdoing that I did, and this threat went on for about 30 days, and it just brought me down. It brought my wife down. And then one day I came to church and there was a revival with Brother R.L. Mitchell from Texas. And he walked up to me and he put his hand upon my chest and he said, I know exactly what is going on in your life. And he explained, I hadn't told anybody about this except my wife. He explained exactly what was going on, the lawsuit, the amount of the lawsuit, all of the aspects of it, and I know that you're not wrong in this, but he said, I'm here to tell you that if you will fast and pray for 7 days, God will end this thing for you. And so I told my wife, and we fasted and we prayed, and on the 7th day, got the phone call, and it was all over. What I'm saying is this. Just knowing that God knows exactly what's going on in your life and that he is going to take care of it, whether it's a healing, whether it's a financial matter, whether it's a pressure, if you know that God knows what's going on in your life, then you can rest assured that God is also going to take care of the situation you're going through. Here's a deaf and mute man that was brought to Jesus. He couldn't hear. He couldn't communicate with anyone. He couldn't communicate with his own family. The people thought that Jesus should lay his hand upon him and that he should be healed because that's what they saw happen in the past. But Jesus knew he needed to communicate with him in sign language first. And as soon as Jesus put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touches his tongue, he knew, this guy understands me. This guy gets me. This guy knows what's going on in my life. And I can't wait. I am so excited because if he knows what's going on.
Amen.
For the first time, he knew someone who understood him without any kind of communication with him whatsoever, because he couldn't communicate with anybody except he could communicate without words to God.
Amen.
Take a look at Mark, the 8th chapter. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. And he cometh to Bethesda and bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. So our God is a little unconventional.
Amen.
You know, we are a little radical here. We're asking people, come on up to the altar, you know. Get excited about God in church. And most of us who have been raised in a different denomination think that that's a little strange.
Right.
But the results are more important than the methods.
Amen.
John, the 9th chapter. John chapter 9 and verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now Jesus could have just said the word and the eyes would have been open. But as soon as he touched their eyes, as soon as he put the mud in their eyes, they knew. There was a level of faith that increased. That's why when we have a Morton Bustard or one of these preachers who involves in the gifts of the Spirit, and he says, I know you have a pain in your back right now, and you recognize, yeah, that's what's happening to me. Your level of faith increases because if God knows and he told the man of God, then something's going to happen right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the way God operates.
Right.
Hallelujah. But he wanted to use sign language to touch the problem, and then they could see and then they could hear. Oh, God wants to open the eyes of somebody here this morning to more of what God wants to do in their life. You just don't want to keep coming and asking God and asking God. You want a sign. You want some sign language from God. He wants to open our ears to hear what heaven is saying about our problems. And many times in the middle of the preaching, I can't tell you how many hundreds of times people have come to me and say, why did you preach what you preached? Because it was just for me and my situation. And then they know. God knows. And God's going to do something about it because God addressed it already. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter? Familiar scripture to most of us, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 15. We find that the Syrians are laying siege to Israel. And verse number 15, it says, And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host come past the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? This thing looks overwhelming to me. I don't know how. You know, God bailed me out before, but this diagnosis, this dilemma in my life, I don't think we can get out of this one. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to Elisha, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. You know, there are some people that God will never open their eyes to truth, because they aren't interested in truth. They're not interested in getting closer to God. But for those who really want to see God the way we see God, God is in the business of opening their eyes to things that they could never see. Now, I've been in this way a long time, and I know when God speaks to me, and I know this message is for us this morning. But folks, I've never had a vision of an angel. And yet there are dozens of you who have seen angels ministering up here on this platform or walking among us. And that's the most awesome thing. I've never experienced that. But God allowed you to have open eyes to see what most people can't see. We see the temporal, but we don't see the eternal. And the eternal, you know? Hallelujah. I believe God keeps some people blind that really have no interest. But if you have been blind and deaf and your heart longs for God, he will open your eyes, unstop your ears, and cause you to say, I've got to tell somebody about what God has done in my life. Amen. You know, the greatest benefit to God doing a miracle in our lives is for somebody else. Yes, we are the benefactor of the miraculous, but you know what? We need to publish it, because they can deny the word of God. They can deny this church. They can deny the organization. They can think your pastor is loony. But when you tell them about what God has done that nobody else could do, this man in Mark 7 didn't believe anyone could hear him or understand him. And all the while, Jesus heard him loud and clear. I couldn't get to the pastor to tell him what's going on. Doesn't matter. He heard it. Amen. He heard it without words. Amen. Because he can read our mind. He knows our thoughts. Amen. Jesus heard a cry without a voice. It was a cry of the heart, bottled up, unable to be expressed. Amen. Think of the nights that this man cried himself to sleep because nobody could understand him at all. Not even his mother or father. How often he tried to explain how he felt, but all of the people heard was a painful, awkward sound that didn't make any sense at all. If only I could speak just once, I would scream out, I'm no dummy. I'm not under a curse. I have feelings and I have thoughts, but I can't communicate to anybody. It's just no one understands, so I'm so very alone. And God knew what he was going through. Yet there was one that not only heard him, but also felt his emotion. Shortest scripture in the Bible is Jesus wept because he felt the emotion of Mary and Martha and what was going on with the Lazarus. Amen. Would you turn to Hebrews, the 4th chapter? Hebrews 4 and verse number 13. Paul says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him whom we have to do. So, can't hide behind a rock, can't hide in the woods, can't hide behind a job, can't hide behind family members that don't understand. God sees every aspect of our life, every thought that enters into our mind, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Amen.
For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's saying, here's the invitation. Maybe you can't communicate with anybody else. Maybe nobody understands what's going on in your life, but I'm telling you, I am touched by the feelings of your weaknesses and your inadequacies in your life. I've heard you. Don't ever think that God is deaf to our situation. He monitors our every thought and will come to our rescue. 2 Chronicles 16:9, awesome scripture. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards God. My job isn't to fight the battle. My job isn't to try to figure out a way out of this dilemma. My job is to keep that heart perfect towards God, and then he is going to show himself strong on our behalf.
Amen.
Too many of us take things in our own hands and say, well, maybe we should do it this way, or maybe we should do it that way, or if I can gather enough people around that would agree with me, well, then I can have my way, when God's saying, no, just put it in my hands and have a perfect heart towards me.
Amen.
Guard your heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Job 34:21 says, for the eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth his doings. Glory to God. Can't do it in the dark. Doesn't matter. God can see in the dark. Would you turn to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter? First Peter 3 and verse number 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Well, they deserved it. I'm sorry. You want God to hear? You know? You need to be righteous. Righteousness is not out of vogue, folks. It's not something we used to do. Righteousness is something that we obtain all of the time in order for God to listen to what we're doing and then respond to it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen. In John, the 9th chapter, the Pharisees questioned the man's parents about how he could see. They couldn't figure out. Here, men of God were saying, that's impossible. Today, religion is saying, that's impossible. God doesn't do that anymore. And his parents said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but you need to ask him who hath opened his eyes. He's of age. Why don't you just ask the one who had the miracle? The fact is, every one of us were born blind, not seeing the reality of God. I said to my wife, she forced me to go to Starbucks again this morning, and I said on the way back, I said, how is it that both of our neighbors, they see us driving out of the driveway, they're doing their lawn thing, and they're, you know, walking their dogs and all of that. What goes on in the mind of them? Do they think we're just so ignorant that we're doing this and it means absolutely nothing? Hallelujah. The Pharisees of the world will always question the miracles of God, and the man had the best answer for these Pharisees in John 9:25. One thing I know, where I was blind, but now I can see. That's your story. That's my story. I was blind to the miraculous. I didn't realize the reality of God, and that he loved me so much and he wanted to help me in every aspect of my life. People can question, but they cannot deny, folks. We are changed, and we see God like nobody else sees God, because he opened our eyes. If you turn to John, the 9th chapter. Verse 28. Then they revived him and said, "Thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto him, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Amen. Now, over the years, this verse has bothered me a little bit, like, God, just, are you a sinner? I'm not listening to you. And I really do believe there are people who pray and God isn't interested in their prayers. I don't believe he answers the prayers. But when that sinner gets to the place where he starts worshiping God, not even with their hands up in here, not even out loud, not even singing the songs of Zion, but inside, thinking, "God, if you're real, I want to know more about you. I want to have a relationship with you." Hallelujah. God opens their ears. God opens their eyes. Hallelujah. I believe the reason each of us are here this morning, having our eyes to see and our ears to hear the word of God, is because our heart wanted more of God. I could ask every one of you this morning about how you came to God, but it's the same story with different actors. You know, God started dealing with me. I wake up in the morning, I think about God. Then all of a sudden, God would send people out of the woodwork and say, "Hey, do you go to church someplace? Do you know about our God? Would you like to come to a Bible study?" I thought the whole world was going crazy. But what happened is God heard me screaming inside that I wanted more of God. God heard our hearts cry, even though we were sinners. He felt our emotions when nobody else understood us. Hallelujah. God still speaks to us in sign language. Today, people are looking for the reality of God. Is God real? I mean, is this worth all of my efforts? Is this worth sacrificing certain time to be in his house and giving to the body of Christ? Is it really worth it? Not just a book report about what God used to do, but is God doing those things right now? They're looking for a God that understands the cry of their heart without a spoken word, one that is touched by the feelings of our weakness and our failures. They are looking for tangible signs that not only is he real, but that God wants to address their emptiness, their poverty, their spiritual poverty, to fill that void in us that nothing else can fill. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much notoriety you have. There isn't anything that causes us to be complete except a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, all you have to do is open the tabloids and see failure after failure of athletes and Hollywood stars, and they're married for 5 and 6 times, and they have the money, and they are miserable. They still need drugs. They still need alcohol in order to somehow complete them, when all they needed to do is cry within themselves and say, "God, if you're real, I want to know you." This scripture I use more than any other, Jeremiah 29 and 13, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I looked up that word yesterday. The word search here means to pursue, especially in worship. If you're looking to pursue God, He's looking to come to your dilemma. There are many people who don't know God like we know God. But there are multitudes who have a deep longing to know Him. They're all around us. They don't even look like they're looking for God. They don't dress like they're looking for God. They don't act, they don't talk like they're looking for God. But deep down inside of them, there's an emptiness that they want filled, and all they want is someone to say something to them, to be used in the operations of the gifts of the Spirit. God can talk to you about an individual, about what's going on in their life at the checkout counter and at the gas station, and all of a sudden they know that came from God. There must be something. There must be a God that is interested in my life. And so God uses sign language to speak to them, to touch their heart and quicken their feelings they have inside of them. For those of us who know Jesus is God, he speaks to us openly in a still small voice, or through the preaching or the gifts of the Spirit and through His Word. Anytime you want to have a conversation with God, all you have to do is take the book and open it up, and there's these wonderful letters that He's written to you, and He can arrange it that particular day to have a specific conversation for you in regard to your situation. And then you know, God knows. I've used this illustration before as well, but for the two of you who haven't heard it, I remember, it seems like I'm always in court, but I went to court, you know, and the Wednesday night before the court action, God said, take your Bible, you know, and I thought, wow. Looks like I'm going to be able to witness to somebody when I get to court. I couldn't afford an attorney, and so I pleaded my case before a judge all by myself. And so I got there, and the bailiff said, well, court's delayed a little bit, so why don't you just have a seat? And I thought, okay. And so while I'm there, I just opened my Bible, and I looked down at the scripture, and it says, and I will defend you for my sake and for yours. I mean, it would have taken me a month just to find that scripture, but God is giving me a sign. Amen. I've already given you the victory. You just show up. And so here I am without any legal experience, and the people who were suing me had three attorneys with them. And when it was all said and done, the judge says, you're right. We dismiss this thing, you know. I could see the fire in the eyes of these guys who came to win, you know. But they didn't bring Jesus with them. You know, Jesus knew just seeing the church or the body of Christ wouldn't be enough in order to convince people, because you can have a great big gathering of all kinds of people who don't have any kind of relationship with God at all. Even the scriptures, which are so plainly laid out for them, they still don't even see it. Baptism doth now also save us. Well, how do you get around that, you know? But somehow they justify it some way. But Jesus said, if you don't believe me because you see me, or you don't believe me because of the words that I speak, then believe me for the very works' sake, or the signs, the miracles, and the wonders. And that's what irritated the Pharisees and the Sadducees so much, because they couldn't do the works. They didn't have the signs. All they had was their formality. All they had was religion. John, the 14th chapter. Verse number 8, familiar scripture. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So he's saying, you know what? Okay, we are the body of Christ. We have the word of God, and yet still people don't believe us. We tell them over and over. We have a move of God. We believe in every word that is in the book, and they somehow rationalize it away. But I'll tell you what, they can't deny the miracles. It's a sign language that most people respond to. It's the miracles, it's the signs, it's the wonders of God that can't be explained by anything else except God did it. Amen. God did it. Amen. Acts, the 5th chapter. I know we're using a lot of scripture, but it's important this morning. Acts 5 and 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. What brought the crowds? It was the signs, the wonders, the miracles. I heard your church has a healing service. I heard your church causes people to be delivered from habits that it wouldn't take a 22-step program in order to get them out of. Hallelujah. It's the sign language that most people respond to. It's the miracles. And believers were more added to the Lord. Multitudes, men and women, came because of the sign language. Pharaoh wouldn't listen to the pleas of Moses to release his people. I mean, he came and he said, you know, my God has said that you need to let my people go. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. Okay, let's have some sign language here. I'll tell you, let's just briefly look at Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy 6 and 22. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. So, you know, it took a little bit of sign language in order for Pharaoh to say, okay, I get it. I'm going to let them go. I believe it. In these end times, again, God is using sign language to bring people out of sin into the church, to heal their hearing and allow them to see the reality of God. Folks, the signs are all around us. If people really want to know who are the true believers, God is happy to use sign language in order to show them. Hey, I can tell you, I know this is familiar, but Mark, the 16th chapter. Verse number 16, Jesus speaking just before he ascends up into heaven, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents or have power over the enemy. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sign language. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Oh, I'm so grateful for the sign language. You guys don't have it. Yeah, but do you have these things following you? Confirming the word with signs following most of Jesus' ministry was miracles. Turning the water into wine, healing all of the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers. He did it, and the religious people shook their head and said, "What's going on? We're going to lose all our congregation to truth." Amen. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So what God is saying is, hey, you want confirmation? You want this thing to be legitimate? Here, I'll give you some of what I got in order to prove to them what they can't see in the natural. Hallelujah. I got a text yesterday as I was working on this message from Sister Durbin and confirming scripture that I already had in my notes. And when God does that, I know this whole book is anointed. It's the word of God. But when you know you're in the right vein, that you got the message for the morning, that's just an awesome thing. And the message said, the solar eclipse was on the 21st, and Hurricane Harvey showed up on the 25th and started flooding on the 26th. So we got 21, 25, 26. And so here's the scripture that I've had. Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun. And in the moon. And in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. We're talking about earthquakes that happened this week down in Mexico, 8.3. Huge earthquake, hasn't happened in many, many years. Hurricanes that are lining up, they're getting in line in order to devastate our coast. We've got North Korea that's saying, hey, we have the capabilities of wiping the United States off of the map. You want to hear about signs? And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth near. My God is coming back soon. He's giving us sign language. Now's not the time to pull back. Now's not the time to say, hey, I don't think that's important anymore. We need to start to look up. God is once again using sign language. And one more thing. We also use sign language to God. He's looking for our sign language. Sign language. Sign language. We're talking to God in sign language. If we don't say a word, we're saying, God, you're more important to me than anything else. Sign language. I'm showing up on a Saturday morning. I'm showing up on a Sunday night. I'm showing up to church. Sign language. Luke 18, last scripture, if the musicians would come. Luke chapter 18. Verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that is humbled himself shall be exalted. Amen. This man standing back didn't even feel like he should come into the doors of the church, sat in the last pew, did not say one word, but in his heart he was saying, God, have mercy on me. Without words, I'm tired of my emptiness. I want an encounter with you. You alone understand what's going on. None of the people in the church understand. The pastor doesn't even have a clue of what's going on in my life. But my God, you alone have heard my cries without a word. Only you know what I'm going through. I can't speak, but you can free me in order to pray. Amen. Have mercy on me. Amen. I need your touch. People are looking for signs from God. Amen. But God is also looking from heaven for signs from each and every one of us. And Amen. You can't understand how important it is for God to see us doing the things that show him how much you love him. Amen. I'm sincere about serving you, God. Not just, well, when I feel like it. Right. I don't care what it looks like to anybody else. I'm going to worship you, God. Amen. Doesn't matter what my family thinks. Right. I'm going to worship you, God. Amen. I don't care if you heal me or not. I'm going to worship you, God. Oh, God, you can save me out of the fiery furnace or not. I'm still going to worship you, God. The lions can tear me apart, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to worship you, God. Sign language. I love signs from God. But I believe he loves the signs that we make towards him. Would you stand with me, please? We walk into this place and in almost every service, God speaks to us through the gifts of the Spirit. That might be a shock to some people, but our ears have been open for a long time. In fact,
We'd be very disappointed if God didn't talk to us through the gifts of the Spirit. We're such a privileged people, folks. But there's so many people who have not had the privilege that we have. Their eyes are still blind, their ears are stopped up. And God wants to use sign language to show them, hey, I've been looking at you, seeing your situation. It's time to publish what God has done in our life. The altar is open. Would you come?